My name is Andrea Rubin, and I'm interviewing Mr. Ruber Rush. It is Thursday, April 19th, 2018, in St. Louis, Missouri.
Oh, my name is Ruber Rush.
And where do you live, Ruber?
3203 Dodia.
And the city?
St. Louis, Missouri.
That's okay.
I am 86.
Okay. And you see your father as somebody who was kind of a hero to you.
Right. In the part of the Civil War.
Was this?
That was at Louis, Mississippi. But we didn't have any. What we did do, we didn't get. And it started raining, and the water started coming up. The water came up under that house, even with the foundation of the house. Hmm. Oh, if you could look, you could see that water in that lake. Food and didn't hardly have any clothing. Well, my dad was always what you call a hustler. He always knew how to maneuver around and make a dollar. So he started, first thing he did, he started making running moonshine. He knew how to do that real well. And he run all moonshine. I'm helping him 12 or 13 years old. And I would help him. And during his running the moonshine, he taught me how to do it. And me and him would leave every morning like we were going to work, but we were going to run the moonshine. Now you put in your head, open hand on that in those days, because then no game ward visited back in that where we lived at, and they weren't going to come in all that water to look for no whiskey makers, because who would have thought whiskey makers would be in there? Mm. And so me and my daddy would go every morning and start the stereo cooking. My daddy, I never will forget, he loved coffee. And he once taught me how to drink coffee. Yeah, black coffee. That's the first thing you get when we get out in the boat. You have a coffee jug. You'll be back. Thank you. I said, oh, that's bitter. No, I ain't drank it. Drank it. He make me drink it. He always would make me drink it. A sip of that black coffee. Nothing in it. It was so black. It just was. And
he wanted
the boat gone. We had to go by the about a half a mile. Then we would go up a little hill around the curve and go around some bushes. And he had his stereo. He had two cookers. He had them sitting up on top of the little ridge so it wouldn't get wet, see. And because you had to have fire on them. And we'll go in there and start our little fire. And I was the fire maker. He would tell me, Ruben, get some leaves if you can find some dry ones. If you can't, get some bark off a tree. So I would get in my boat and go to a tree who had some bark on it, pull it off, and then we'll make a fire up under. torn to moonshine while you're cooking it. That's the way it is. Now, take that fine. And we have our you always have the water and the stuff in there on the mash. The mash is the stuff that make the whiskey. Mm-hmm. You be done set that up about 3 or 4 days ahead of time. And let it set that fermentation. It go to working like that. Mm-hmm. Go to working like boys in there. Mm-hmm. And so now you had to strain it. You had a strainer, and you had to strain all that, see? Get that out of there and strain it, the good beer into a clean container. And then when you get that beer drained, then you put that in the clean container. And then you get that set up. And then you make the pile up underneath what you would call the cooker. See? And you got your coil. The coil go round and round like that. You put that in a bucket of water. Now that coil have to be kept cool. You can't let that coil get hot. Do that whiskey will puke. You call it. It'll puke up. Now what I mean by puking, instead of coming out whiskey, it'll come out old beer. This what made the moonshine. The let's see. What made the moonshine was the alcohol. Mm-hmm. Alcohol from the beer. Mm. The steam. That's what made the moonshine.
Mm. How did you How did you keep it cool?
You kept cold water around the coil. See, you have your coil sitting in a valve. See, like that, copper. It had to be copper. And it's made like that. And you set it down in a valve. Then you get water, cold water, and put it around that coil. You put about half full. Then you all set. But you can't let that coil get hot now. If you let it get hot, that whiskey gonna puke. And beer. Then you don't want no beer. You want steam from that cooker. That's why everything had to be concealed tight. Everything had to be clean.
Did you have a thermometer? Did you have to?
No.
Nothing fancy.
No. Nothing fancy. You just have to know not to let it overheat. Mm-hmm. See, many times my daddy used to tell me, run, pull that fire. See, fire up under the cooker. It be getting too hot. I just pull it back. See, that keep it from puking. Now if you let it sit there and get too hot, it gonna puke. And when it come out, it's nothing but pure alcohol. Oh man. my daddy had him a little cup. When it go to coming out, he'll get there. I can see him now. You lay down on one side and you put that little cup up on that spout. And you catch him a little bit of that cup. Oh man, there's some good stuff here.
Did he want you to try it?
Yeah, every time.
And what did you think?
Yeah, every time him boy try some of this. I said, I don't wanna. Yeah, take it in the way. And he make me take it. I take it. Little we will do. And he might will run off 3 gallons that day. So turn it right round, we'll set up again. See, he might set up about 3 or 4 days, then we'll go back and run it. We'll get about about 6 gallons, and then we ready to go make our sale. We didn't have no car. We had to walk the town.
Wow.
See?
How heavy were they?
Huh?
That you had 6 gallons?
Yeah.
That you carried into town?
Yeah.
How far was town?
Town was about 3 miles.
Wow.
Yeah. But now we always would walk. We wouldn't walk the road. Well, you could go to town like walking a riverbank. And the river, the Mississippi riverbank,
mm-hmm.
We could walk that way. We always try to stay off the main road.
You didn't want, because what would happen if you were on the main road?
Well, the revenue man might stop you or somebody, you know.
Mm-hmm.
We want to keep it low.
Mm-hmm.
And we'd take that stuff on the town. Well, he had customers in town. People had saloons and taverns.
So he had a reputation.
Yeah.
People wore.
Yeah, people know him. Butler Rush. See, Mr. Butler, and get me a pint. See, Mr. Butler, and get me a half a gallon for the night. Get me a gallon.
Mm-hmm.
See, now he would have to let them have it. They didn't have no money then. See, they didn't have a penny. He would let them have it on the credit.
Oh.
Yeah, but they were good. He
trusted that they would pay.
Yeah, and they paid too. They paid a lot of time. He'd send me back to collect the money.
So after they had customers that drank it,
then
they would pay your
Friday and Saturday night, all that place would be full of juke junkers.
Mm-hmm.
You know, them old sisters and men folks, they'd be dancing around there hollering. You're somebody over there in the corner with old guitar. Boom, 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 boom. And all they'll be out there, them old sisters, trying to twist it themselves. it was a black tab, and you know what a tab is like.
Okay.
Now, those folks were just like he was. They didn't have nothing.
Mm.
See? Now, there was some old set of folks would come in there, and they would spend their little quarters, nicks, and dimes,
mm-hmm.
Buying shots.
Mm-hmm.
See? Woody G and Titan.
Mm.
They had a little money. And they compressed Woody Press Titan.
Mm-hmm.
They had a little money. So all of them would come in on a Saturday night to have a pretty good time.
So people that had different jobs, specific to growing cotton. Some people did better than others.
Oh yeah, some people made pretty good money.
Really?
Yeah, because they had different jobs.
So the one like your family, you were planters. And you planted and harvested the cotton?
Yeah. We picked it out.
You picked it.
And everything.
Yeah.
We didn't make nothing. We didn't make no money because he had to go through the other man's hand. See?
Mm-hmm.
And he would sell it. Well, in this case, Miss Youngblood, she's a sheep, and she would sell it. But she never would only give you no money. She always would cheat us. Mm. Yeah.
But if for people who worked on the gin or who were compressors, people like that were compressors, where did they get their money from?
Compressors?
Yeah.
When working at the gins?
Yeah.
Well, they got their money because the people that own the gins and the compressors paid them for their labor.
I see.
Yeah, they would make their money and get paid off every Friday night or Saturday night. And so they got them some money to enjoy themselves with, if you want to put it that way.
Were those jobs hard to get?
Yeah, because there wasn't but a few of them around, and so many folks
wanted.
Yeah, wait, that I smell. Let's see what he was getting for that. $6 a gallon.
Wow.
That's what it was. $6 a gallon. So the cabin owner would take up a gallon for my father. Say, let me have a gallon and come back six and six times. And when I sell it, I can pay you. So that's the way it was done.
Mm-hmm.
My daddy would do that. And they were paying him. See, a lot of times you go back, they ain't got that gallon of money. Mr. Butler, we just didn't make that limit. But come back next week, I had to double up. They double up in pain.
Hmm.
So a lot of times my daddy would make, $25 or $30 selling his moonshine.
Wow.
Get money out of that and buy his resetup.
Mm-hmm. How much did the resetup cost?
The resetup would cost him at least $12.
Oh.
See?
Yeah.
So he wasn't making a whole profit, and he wasn't making a lot of money.
Mm-hmm. But it was something.
It was something.
To buy food with.
Yeah, that's right.
Mm-hmm.
It was something.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what he did. And he did that for a long time. Then he caught on to another quick scheme, was making baskets. Like I said, my daddy was a hustler, and he easy to learn anything. And I don't know where you get that basket making from.
Hmm.
But he would go in the woods, and he would get oak. That's the kind of wood he want. It would have to be straight. He was moving on crooked wood. That oak tree had to be perfectly straight. Not too many knots on it. Then he would bring it home, get up under the shade tree, and he would cut that tree, trim the top of it, and then he'd take a knife, with what I call, it was a drawing knife. You ain't never seen a drawing knife, no.
Mm-hmm.
But get it started. Get it so we can split it. See? Then he'd take these two fingers and get on top of that little tree and pull that split open. And that's what he would call it, the split. And he would fit that timber, split it all the way down for a minute at the tail there. And he would split that, and started making his baskets. And he made baskets. A lot of time you had 3 or 4 baskets. He only got $2.50 for him. Mm-hmm. But he was setting out down the road for people to see it. White people, the business people that got them plantation, cotton plantations. They the one bought the basket. They'll drive by. How much that basket? $2.50. Make me $7. Mm. Make me $7 for things such a time. All like that, how he got his business. And he was putting there busy with baskets. Mm.
So, did he teach you how to do that too?
He tried, but I just couldn't get it.
Yeah, it seems very like it required a lot of patience and time.
I couldn't split it, it was my trouble. He would take his 2 fingers and put in there, and then you had to pull it down and split it. But you had to pull it a certain way. Hmm. And most time I would let it run out. Hmm. That means it'll come off the side. Hmm. And so he always would tell me, oh, you ain't gonna never learn this. You ain't gonna never learn this. You. But he had it back. He could do it. And all I did, I started taking him ice water then up on the tree and cleaning up for him.
Where did you